we have sort of a list of films we've each been trying to kind of show each other. And we were like, okay, what do you want to watch tonight? And I thought it would be fun to watch the Safdie Brothers, Robert Pattinson film, Good Time. Which, when you're on like a nice peaceful retreat with your partner, not a great choice. Have you seen Good Time,
Sid?
It's
an awesome movie.
Yeah, it's fantastic, but it's a tough watch. It's
I would rather watch Sophie's Choice in damp clothes.
Welcome to Oops All Segments, the very best podcast hitting your eardrums at this very moment. Are you okay, T?
I'm Kevin. I'm Thomas. Sorry, I just jogged in here.
Whew! You just jogged in?
We are here with special guest, our friend, Sid. Welcome to the show, Sid.
Hi.
What's up, Sid? Oh, wait, hold on.
Thanks for having me.
I always forget to do this. Yay! There you go. Yeah.
Nice.
That's what was missing.
Exactly.
Sid is, I feel better now.
Yeah.
Good.
We can all relax.
Yeah.
Sid is a pal from the Black Hole Theater days. Kevin and I sort of cut our teeth alongside Sid in the grisly alleyways of the U of M, as it were. Sid,
it's true.
How's life treating you since then? How are you?
Life has been crazy since then. It's been a soap opera. I can confidently say. I sometimes wish that my life was a little less Days of Our Lives and a little more Passions. Do you remember?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Passions? Yeah. Yeah. Passions seemed like a good time compared to Days of Our Lives.
Yeah. I mean, there was a witch and she had a little doll that came to life and they drank Martimis together.
Yeah.
It was at the end of the show.
A little wonkier and a little weirder than like Days of Our Lives, which was more sad and dramatic, I felt like.
Yeah. But you know, we take what we can get. I really wish that my life had an orangutan doctor, but here we are. So,
you know,
that's fine, I guess.
You know,
I'll give up.
Don't give up. Yeah,
it's still early.
A couple weeks ago, Ken Hall was on the show, and Ken Hall does motion capture for the Umbrella Academy's Pogo, the monkey in the show. So sort of, you know, you kind of have, by guesting on the show, you sort of, through a few degrees of separation, you kind of get yourself
six at least degrees of orangutan doctor.
Yeah, he's at least Ken at least portrays a distinguished primate in the show. So, which I think he would be fine to hear me say.
They put the motion capture balls everywhere except his ass, which is already red and vibrant.
Already a dump truck.
Yeah. A big, well, more of a fire engine, to be honest. Yeah.
Just you know, walking around without permission, what carrying like, all that cake.
Come on now. Can haul ass. Yeah. That yeah, that's incredible.
Exactly.
But well, thanks for doing the show.
What's new with you, T?
As for me, I went to the dang circus this week.
You went to the circus?
I went to Teatro Zinzani. It's a kind of a fun dinner and a show. It's downtown Chicago, and I've seen it a couple times. And there's some interesting things that happened. One, I felt deceived.
Deceived.
Because at
the circus,
through much of the show, there is a lady who appears to be a maid. She's sort of messing around with her feather duster, her trash bags, her toilet paper. She's getting in the way. She's kind of, we're all having a laugh. And the one thing I knew for sure is that this woman is just the help. She doesn't have a special talent. She's just there to clean up after everyone else.
Like, so you're talking like someone who's on the janitorial team for the circus
the
company.
The sanitation worker kept interfering. And I laughed because it was so, It didn't fit with the kind of aesthetics of the show. Why does like the janitor keep interrupting? And then, Kevin and Sid, and then you know what happened?
What happened?
She tore off her uniform, and underneath was a sparkling leotard, and she was hoisted into the air and did a breathtaking world-class aerial act.
The prestige.
Exactly. There's the twist.
You're telling me the bathrooms have been cleaned by a bona fide athlete?
In this economy? Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, did you? Yeah, exactly. Like,
you need two jobs just to high
skilled acrobats.
It really took me out of the show.
Out of the show?
It broke the illusion for me.
What do you mean? Your suspension of disbelief was ruined by the fact that you thought the janitorial staff might be more talented than that?
It doesn't stop there, Kevin.
It doesn't?
It's the plot of Good Will Hunting.
There was a circus equation on a chalkboard.
The servers
who were taking drink orders, bringing our food.
Yes.
Occasionally would reveal themselves to be dancers as well, and they pranced around the circle, and I was like, could I please get a little less sashaying and a little more my filleting of fish, because I'm starving. Okay. And
you were served by a triple threat, like
served by the most underpaid performer in the world.
And I threatened them three times during the show.
Threatened them with what?
Appetizer, like entree, and dessert. I said.
Imagine you with that mentality going into like a strip club, like being upset that every server is going up on the stage.
They tricked me into thinking they liked me for real. And then there was an economic incentive.
Yeah, I didn't really mean that. You didn't understand the concept.
I felt hot to them.
Of sex work. Yeah, you don't know what it is. Yeah. that's wild. As for me, I sort of spent my time under a big top of my own. Kara and I recently took a little trip out to an Airbnb just outside of Manitoba on the way to Pine Falls, and we stayed in a dome, one of those sort of it wasn't quite a yurt. It was just like a plexiglass sort of hexagonal things fitted together.
A biodome.
It was like a biodome, like a stargazing thing. And
biodome.
Yeah, we were sort of specimens, as it were. We were in this biodome, and also on the same property as the biodome, there was like a really big, really nice cabin that honestly didn't have very many pictures in the Airbnb. We didn't really realize it was part of it. We thought it was going to be like the dome, and it was going to be attached, like physically attached to like a small little cabin. And then when we got there, it was not attached. It was like quite a little hike through like some snowy through some snowy little hills, but the biodome itself was there. And so it was pretty cold out at night, and so we spent only one night in the biodome, but and then the other night we just spent inside the cabin because it was not well sealed. And it was actually snowing inside the dome at one point.
Oh my god.
So
gotta work on your ceiling, buddy. Yeah, I've been thinking about that for like 5 minutes. How do I work in my Pauly Shore impression?
Wow. Yes.
And I've done it. I've done it.
Yeah. Congratulations. You just leave. Sid just signs off. Oh, shit. Yeah. One thing that Kara and I decided to do was spending time together, and the weather wasn't quite as nice as we thought it might be, so we were just watching some movies for the evening, and we don't often sit down and watch movies. We're a big TV show couple. We'll often watch TV shows, but I like a good movie. I really do. And so we have sort of a list of films we've each been trying to kind of show each other, and we were like, okay, what do you want to watch tonight? And I thought it would be fun to watch the Safdie Brothers, Robert Pattinson film, Good Time, which when you're on like a nice peaceful retreat with your partner, not a great choice. Have you seen Good Time,
Sid?
It's
an awesome movie.
Yeah, it's fantastic, but it's a tough watch.
I would rather watch Sophie's Choice in damp clothes.
Yeah. So it's a tough one, right? But I like it. And so I picked that, and we decided we're going to do it like a double feature. We're going to watch that movie, and then we're going to watch her movie after, depending or flipping it, depending on what she picked. So we watched Good Time, and Kara, we watched what Kara picked, and what Kara picked was fucking Eat, Pray, Love. So... There's
perfect
something
double feature.
There's something quite.
It kind of works.
It sort of does. Essentially, a Good Time is like about like people who are struggling in poverty, having like more and more chaotic things that are horrible happen to them because of decisions that they're making out of desperation, right? And like, and Robert Pattinson's character is constantly
thinking you know what's best for your brother when you probably don't.
Yes, yeah. And then Eat, Pray, Love is about like a super privileged white woman, like going out and like touring the world and just like finding herself. And she's like, but like the marriage that she's unhappy in. You're just watching it, you're like, all of the characters in this last movie would fucking kill for five seconds of this life.
Like, someone who really wants to be married to you, but you're just like, wait, I gotta learn to love my muffin top.
Yeah.
I have to go to India for that.
It was hard to get into it, and at one point I fell asleep during Pray Love, and I woke up.
It's crazy
up
that both movies end with someone falling off the roof.
Javier Bardem falls from the roof at the end of Eat, Pray, Love.
In both.
But no, I woke up and Kara was just in fucking tears at the scene that it happened, and I was asleep. I was like, what's happening? Like, you know, I watch Good Time and I go right to sleep. It's kind of a nice sort of sedative for me, you know.
It's a lullaby.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Let's get into a first segment, our warm-up segment, if you will.
Let's do it.
Here comes the wheel.
We're going to spin the wheel and see where we start.
What do we got?
Bait and switch. This is submitted by my mommy, Melissa Steele.
Oh,
participants
shit.
Must discuss something they thought they hated, but found out they loved, or vice versa.
Okay. Ooh. Sid, is there something that you've got immediately that springs to mind for this?
Well, I literally looked down at my cat.
Oh, no,
yeah, before
which
we
way
started,
did it go?
It fucking sucks.
You hate your cat now? Not a fan?
No, I love him. He's when I brought him home, he was a little kitten in a box in an Uber, and he made a noise.
It's like a Russian
that
doll.
Sounded like a demon. The soul of a Salem witch trial sort of victim was inside.
Yes.
Of an animal.
Okay.
You mean one of the male townspeople, like a victim of witchcraft? Okay.
Not like the witch or the demon,
no, no,
but
no.
Like just a
random. They were a kind of Satan's army, I think. So I think they weren't. Yeah, sorry.
And they're all in this cat.
look at him. He's looking right at you.
So.
Yeah. And his name is what?
Egg Boy. So Egg Boy was in a box, and he made this noise that sounded from the depths of hell, and my Uber driver's like, what the fuck is that?
Sure.
And I said, it's a cat. He goes, no, it's not. That's not a cat. And I open this box, and this tiny kitten is in there, and he goes, why does he sound like that? And I'm like, I don't know. I just seeing him too.
This is new for all of us, man.
We're going through this journey together.
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit.
He's the worst.
Oh no!
But I think it's, you know, I have to humble myself. I'm the one who raised him.
Yeah.
How old is he?
It is the caregivers. That's where it starts, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it starts at home.
I think we have such a troubled relationship because he's just like a mirror
Really, the thing that you hated and now you love is yourself.
You hate the egg boy inside of you. You hate the egg boy inside of you.
Inside of us are two egg boys.
Yeah.
It depends on which one you feed kibble to.
One is wearing jean shorts, and the other one is wearing jean shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. They both wear jean shorts. How old is egg boy?
He's like three.
Three? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I've had him since I've been out here in Toronto.
Okay.
And so we've grown a lot together.
Sure. Sure. Sure.
But my other answer is olives.
Okay. You're on the olive train. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
A good one.
Yes.
Yeah. Egg boys and olives. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good dish. Olives. I see. So you're on the olive train now. You like them?
Absolutely.
I can't get on the olive train, man.
Kevin, you're missing out.
No, man. A tapenade even just puts me off. Oh. I can't.
Just a rich source of flavor. It'll really boost anything. I mean, a green olive on a slice of pizza, that's a sneaky, delicious bite.
Mamma mia.
No, wait, what the fuck kind of shit? Yeah. No, man, miss me with all that.
I don't have a specific one, but I feel like a lot of food stuff, like as I got older that I thought I hated, I grew to love. And I've realized that basically I like every food. Like, all food is good. This is kind of my hot take. Like, there is no bad food. Food is just good.
No, I mean that's...
Wait, let him finish. Food is all food is good?
Yeah, and this is my Tinder bio. I love food, and I like The Office as well. So,
Food is good.
I'm looking for the gym to my pan.
I had somebody try to connect with me once, like a long lost relative that was like, "Oh, I bet we have things in common. You make music, and I think music's cool." I was like, "What the fuck? Like, you think music's cool? Like, who doesn't think music's cool? What kind of fucking like, you know? That's not a specific
it's like
unique
looking in a
trait."
Mirror.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
I do have an answer. I just thought of one. Okay.
Yeah.
And I also will say my cat, like, tragic story, but growing up, I had cats and I loved them so much. And then I got a dog for the first time and I realized I was a dog person. So I didn't like grow to hate the cats, but it definitely was like a sad thing of like, they just could tell I had
Thomas,
this new pet
our, like,
that I
earliest
loved so
relation,
much
earliest people. Moments in our relationship were you fully screaming, "Freddy, fuck off!" at your cat endlessly.
Cat. Yeah,
you
yeah.
hated him so much.
Yeah,
I know
he,
that you said you
I
did.
Loved him and hated him at the same time. He's still in the background on my phone. He lived to 21.
Is he on your phone still?
Yeah.
I hope Egg Boy doesn't live that long. God.
Yeah. What a nightmare.
Yeah. That's a long time. It's a long time to have.
I sound
and
like
Freddie
such
was
a
Freddie was
person.
A piece of shit at the end. He was an old angry cat. I liked Freddie, but he was an old angry cat. No.
The one I'm thinking of is this game called Outer Wilds, which when I first started playing it, it's one of these indie games that like gets a lot of attention. Mm. When you first start playing it, you're just like exploring a solar system and you don't really know what's going on and the controls are weird and it's very like not that the graphics are a little off and like it just didn't grab me right away, but the longer you play you start to figure out like what's going on in the world and it's this mystery exploration game and it becomes very existential and beautiful. I can't even really talk about it without spoiling it, but you discover what happened like through exploring the game, and by the end it's like one of my favorite games ever. But I remember starting that feeling like this is boring, I don't know if I'll really finish it, and then just like totally overwhelming awesome experience.
Okay that sounds
I have a controversial one.
Okay sure.
David
I want
Lynch.
You to pick like a race of people.
Lynch.
Oh, David Lynch. Wait, you didn't like him and now you do, or you did like him and now you don't?
I go back and forth. I bait and switch all the time.
Yeah, the name of the
I feel like he's sort of I think that might be like the ideal for him. I feel like that might be the ideal audience. It's
like
somebody who
have a strong fondness for him, and I think his good movies are really good, but there's several of them I don't care about at all, so it's kind of like you know, mixed bag for me. Which
I haven't
turned you or what felt like
what feels like the switch.
Changed,
yeah.
Yeah.
I I kind of got a sense of what he was doing. At first, like, I would watch his movies and I'm like, I don't enjoy looking at this. It's grotesque. Like,
it's tough to see. Yeah.
It's gross. Like,
you'd rather wear damp clothes and watch Sophie's Choice again.
Or Schindler's List. Like, you know, like,
feel good kind really, of flicks.
Yeah. Really live in it.
Yeah.
But I kind of realized what he was doing, which what was the,
oh my God, Thomas.
Oh. And this is it.
Villains wiki.
Was she a villain? I guess technically.
I just love looking at this.
Which film is that from?
That's Eraserhead.
Eraserhead.
She's the right. In heaven, everything is fine, lady.
Right.
Yeah, I come to appreciate that.
Was there one of them that you like? Were like, oh, I actually liked that one. After sort of not being a fan.
Eraserhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind that one. And then obviously like Twin Peaks was.
Okay.
Sure.
Like everyone was obsessed with that.
Yeah, that was a huge show.
Even then I'm just kind of like,
My first experience with David Lynch was Thomas showing me David Lynch reading or performing a recipe.
Yes. Quinoa.
On how to make David Lynch making quinoa. It's like a 7 minute video. He showed it to me because when we were directing The Bald Soprano for the first time at the Black Hole, it was like a lunch bag, I think. And like we must have been like 19. I was like probably like 20 years old. You were 19 or something like that. But it was like sort of a tonal, like, oh, this is the kind of tone we want to hit with the absurdity, like this like creepy, unsettling tone. And so I remember using that as like a point of reference. And then I studied, actually, Thomas and his dad are very, like, I also studied Mulholland Drive. George taught it to me.
That makes sense.
And that was a very interesting, I really grew a lot of, I mean, studying that film from like a filmmaking perspective is a very easy way to like really appreciate it. And all of those weird choices made with like some of the audio. I'm a big audio guy in film. I really find like the soundtracks, but also like how dubbing works and ADR and like all of that kind of stuff pretty interesting. And like there's a very weird use of that in Mulholland Drive where like they'll dub a lot of the voices for no reason. Like they didn't need to dub a lot of the audio, but it intentionally is like off a little bit, and that's like on purpose to make you feel unsettled. Yeah. It's a very interesting you're right, bait and switch is good. Mine is Brussels sprouts.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ooh, good.
Yeah. My man learned about the oven.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No steam.
Yeah.
No steam.
Exactly. I have actually like a little bit of like a problem here.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
This is a hot take that our parents' generation, I don't know if everybody had this experience. Maybe it's because my parents were first generation immigrants to Canada, but they fucked up vegetables for all of us by making steamed and boiled vegetables like the standard when they had a perfectly good oven. I don't know.
It makes everything taste like a diaper.
Exactly. It's like to this day, there are foods, steamed broccoli I really have a hard time with and steamed Brussels sprouts. And I fucking love roasted broccoli and roasted Brussels sprouts.
Even Kim, who famously not a big vegetable person, if you throw the broccoli in the oven with some like garlic salt and whatever, she's like, this is pretty good. Like it makes a big difference. Though I you might know this, but there is a thing about how when we were kids, Brussels sprouts tasted more bitter than they taste now because they have changed the food science. They like changed how they grew them.
Are you like looking this up?
Yeah. In the late 1990s, there were these glucosinolates that made them bitter, and they started breeding them differently. So they actually do literally taste better than they used to.
So it's that, like, that's like a literal bait and switch. They like switched the bait out.
And, like, we've done it.
Yeah, but I guess,
we've done it.
Yeah, we figured it out. It's, you know, we won the segment, which doesn't
We won, right?
Yeah.
Surprise, motherfucker.
We won the segment.
That's our first dub on the pod, so we're on episode 75 or something.
I think this is 74. Yeah, okay. We're episode 74. We finally won the podcast.
Finally won.
Yeah. Should we take a little bit of an ad break?
I have to.
What?
I have to.
You have to?
I
what do you mean you have to?
To?
Why?
I need a little breather.
Like, do you have to go to the bathroom? Do you need like a drink of water or anything? Or
what I do during the break is not yours to know.
Okay. Okay? You don't have to be cagey about it though, right?
I'm not cagey.
You're being so cagey right now.
In what way am I cagey?
You're not answering my question. You're also acting a little bit like Nicolas Cage, like, which is also some of it too. You're not only are you being like holding back things from me, you're also sort of embodying like a slightly absurdist sort of.
Thomas, I think you can be more upset actually.
Thanks for the permission slip. We'll be right back.
Do you smell that? It's Bullshit Alert, the podcast where we lie, cheat, steal, and sometimes, yes, sometimes, it's the truth. Think you can sniff it out? Join Stephen Carter, Danny Marshall, and Lily Moss each week where we invite new guests, new stories, and of course, new bullshit. Find Bullshit Alert on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
And we're back.
That was gnarly.
Gnarly?
It got really heated there.
You know, sometimes I wish I could tell you what I got up to, because...
Are you sure? You look really like... Woo! Doubled now. Okay, holy shit. Yeah. Yeah, oh. Real intense. Are you good, man?
Whoa, Nelly. That's all I can say.
Whoa, Nelly?
Yeah. Who knew the human body could bend so much?
Did you have like acrobatic circus sex in the break was so brief.
I took the maid home last night.
That's why you talked about having a Tinder profile now, right? You sort
that's
of
right.
ruined things with
kids. Turns out we both like food. Sam, do you have a segment for us?
Yeah.
I do. Should I explain where this idea came from first, or just tell you the segment first?
Whatever works for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of friends that were in the radio business. They were radio personalities.
Yeah,
sure.
And so everyone and their mother has come up to them and been like, bro, we should do a podcast together.
Right,
And they just roll their eyes and they go, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Everyone's pitched ideas that they're like, that's not going to work. That's stupid. Then I pitched them an idea.
Ooh.
And here's the segment. It's called
So they
hey
clearly
man.
Said, they said no, obviously, then, right?
Yeah, because now I'm doing here. It.
So what's it called?
It's called, Hey Man, We Should Start a Podcast.
I like it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need the two of you to each pitch me a podcast idea. Mm. I want you to come at me with research, with segments, ideas, with guests. Okay. That's why I sent it at 1 a.m. last night.
And you sent it to me, and I didn't send it to Thomas.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'll do a little bit of research while Kevin is pitching his that he no doubt prepared.
Perfect.
Yes.
And then you're going to pitch it to me, and I will rate it on a scale of you just wasted my time to I will co-host that shit with you.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
Very good. Okay. Very good.
Mm-hmm. I have no shortage of podcast concepts and ideas as somebody who has to literally write segments for this show endlessly because Thomas refuses to do any work.
I don't refuse. I'm just really bad at it. I feel like that's
it's sort of like you know that sort of trend that people are talking about now where, like, they're sort of accusing men of, what is it? It's like weaponized incompetence.
Yeah, I didn't exactly clean up the ketchup on the counter too well, did I?
Yeah.
So I just smudged it in deeper.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of part of the granite now somehow.
It's better.
Yeah, no. Mike, here's a pitch. We've had a few different concepts come through, and a lot of them, sometimes the thought I've had is like, we've done like Wiki Race was like an idea that Thomas and I had that we actually ended up making a segment on the show and things like that. But here's one that perhaps I'd like to do a confessional style podcast. I'd like to do I'd like to get people to call in, do an advice style show. But I think they'd call in and we would guarantee that we'd run their voice through a modulator. But we would get them to confess something that they've done in their life. And we would sort of use that as sort of a whether we would be giving them advice on how to repair, like, you know, a situation or just discussing it. And I think I'd like to be on that show, and I think I'd like to have like a rotating door of sort of problematic religious Whoa. Leaders from various sort of different, you know, different, like, yeah. you know, we'll start off with maybe like a Scientological
Joel
sort
Osteen.
Of. Oh, sure. Yeah. We'll get Joel Osteen in there. Yeah.
That's
and
a
then,
good get.
Yeah. We're just like, you know, ideally people who we can assume would not have been like, good yeah. to receive confession
right.
back when
Chris
you were
Pratt.
Younger. Yeah. 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 And you know, and I just want to, I want them to sort of, at the end of the show, we'll sort of get what, here's the trick. Here's the ticket. One of the confessions that's read out on air is from the guest, but because it's all through a modulator, we do like five every segment and we don't know which one is
okay.
from the guest. And that's like, you know, so you might hear,
hook.
Yeah, you might hear like Chris Pratt talking about how he like, you know, physically got into like a really bad yeah. altercation with Adam Scott on the set of Parks and Recreation, but he's like being vague enough about it and it's modulated and then it's alongside
yeah.
like other
this
confessions.
This could be anyone who
sad.
Fought with Adam Scott on the set of Parks and Rec.
Yeah. We'll also have Aziz Ansari call in
okay.
once an episode.
Yeah.
Once
the
an
whole
episode.
Cast of Parks and Rec is doing your show with Joel Osteen.
Yeah.
Kevin, yeah. we couldn't even book a second guest for today for our show.
And I want to get Chris Pratt and Aziz Ansari. And I can't even get a second guest. No, you're right. You're right. So that's my pitch. That's where I'm at. I don't know,
you
Sid.
Have a title.
Yeah. Do I have a title? Do I have a title? I think it would be like confessions, because like the idea being that like one of the things, it's like, you know, two truths and a lie kind of thing because of the confession thing. So yeah. I think like CON in all caps, fessions, you know, and hopefully I'm getting some traction from Usher fans as well. He would probably be my like sort of ideal
Part
guest.
Two.
It'd be Usher.
Part two.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's pretty good. That has legs.
Thank you.
That has legs, Kevin. I like it.
Okay.
Would
you decide now, or are you going to decide after whether you're going to?
I'm going to decide which one I'm going to co-host with.
I see.
You're,
I see
at
both.
The end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Unlike Kevin, I didn't have all night to prepare.
That's what I came up with after. Yeah. After.
Yeah.
Not sleeping and studying for hours.
I didn't have the time to Google who's on which NBC show. So. I'm going to shoot from the hip with this one.
You said Chris Pratt to me, just for the record.
Neon Genesis Evangelical. I'm going to pitch a show called Bury the Hatchet.
And okay.
I am a counselor in training, so I'm learning a little bit about this. I would like to be a mediator on a podcast where people come on to address a long-standing feud that they have had, or something that bothered them in the past that they never talked about. So this is like creating a safe space for like two people to come in and hash something out and maybe say it for the first time. Like, it really bothered me when here's like a random, there was someone that came to my house, it was a party, and at the end they were like, all right, we're gonna go home, and then them and five friends took a shot of our whiskey and then left. They did it right before they left the party. That's like a weird little thing, not a big deal, but I never told them that it bothered me, and it feels like something
so you,
that I was
you,
like.
You sort of want to do like a podcast Judge Judy for like the pettiness
I'd
of
like
real
to
life.
I'd like to be Judge Judy and Executioner, and I think
Judge Judy
I'll mediate,
and
but I don't
Thomas
know. I feel like podcasts, people really like these sort of vulnerable convos. So, and then we'll have a chance for them to work it out, and maybe I decide at the end whether it has been, the hatchet has been buried, whether the hatchet is still at large, or whether I don't know, one of them is the asshole, if they can be friends again. I don't know.
Sure.
And I think some of the guests that we could have
Yeah.
Will Smith and Chris Rock.
Oh, God. You're really going big.
Yeah. Let me see who else. Will Smith and...
You want to do more Will Smith.
Will Smith and... Yeah,
Will
it's
Smith
always
and
Will
the
Smith.
Robot from iRobot.
I did not murder him, that guy. Yeah.
Will Smith and his wife. Because there's a lot of stuff there.
Sure. So it sounds a little bit like you want to do a show with Will Smith.
If I could get him, yeah. I mean, is he...
sure, William Smith. Yeah,
it was supposed to be the millennium, guys.
Yeah. I would like to have like my dad's student come on and like argue for a grade that he got in his class. That would be kind of fun.
That is sort of fun. I think it's a great idea.
There's a lot of leeway there for it to be either like really serious or kind of dumb.
Yeah. I actually think that's genuinely a pretty good idea. It'd be tough to schedule and create and produce.
And
but
people
I think,
might not want to. Why would they trust me? And to have no audience, you sort of need a profile. Like I would need to be a public figure therapist for people to agree to do this.
I kind of like that. Like
just like a rant.
I am the Thomas Tolles, and everyone's like.
I love the idea of being at like you running your regular therapy practice and at the end of your session sort of sliding a card over to the table and being like, listen, guys, there's a place we can sort this out outside of here. And I think this might be primed for this. And it's got just like a QR code on it and a link to like three shitty shorts I've had to edit for you. these like terrible reels. That's a great idea.
It's got like... like it's giving Nathan Fielder.
Yeah.
It definitely could shift.
I got
into
really
that.
Good grades, guys.
I
can help you with this thing.
Yeah, because if Top I played like a comedic school. Character and was sort of like goading them, that might be a different. It would be a different show, but it could also be fun.
Yeah, I don't think that you're kind of the type of person to sort of disingenuously be cruel to people, though.
That's not really my thing.
No, not at all. All right, Sid. Well, those are your pitches. We've got Confessions, and we've got Bury the Hatchet. And just I want to just mention that like Bury the Hatchet, is also the name of like a criminal sort of mastermind that Thomas sort of knows, sort of a hitman that lives in Toronto that might assault people if they don't agree with him. Sort of Bury the Hatchet.
Another
Mendez
good guess
is what
would
his
be
name
Terry
is.
The Pratchett.
Terry the Pratchett.
You can book that. That was
and Gary Paulson as well.
Yeah,
the author of Hatchet, the book.
We just did a big Hatchet reference in our Rod episode. Anyway, Kevin is stalling because he knows which podcast Sid is about to choose. So let's get to the second dub of the episode. Sid, what are you thinking?
So both have really great guests and. Just on the fly, really good guests.
Yeah. You have access to these people.
And Chris
really
Pratt. Yeah. truly A-list celebrities, right?
And I can't stress this enough. Management. I really wanted it to be the millennium. Like,
Arguably, we are living in the millennium, and that maybe that's why it's so bad right now. Maybe this is what big. Do you not feel a little bit jiggy these days? That's the name we give to the anxiety hum that everyone has in the back of their head. We're all getting jiggy.
We just played
with
a game called Bait and Switch.
Yeah.
So true.
It is the Wild Wild West. So.
Yeah, it is true. It is the millennium. We're living in it.
Yeah.
We've been living in it this whole time, and I've been pining for it, but
you got good placed by the millennium.
I got 7 pounds of shit in a 5 pound bag.
All this time I never needed the feather to fly, you know? Like it was in me all along.
Yeah. And my hand is on my cock.
Yikes, man.
So, you know, like
the
superhero
movie.
Let me see
both your hands right now in the frame.
I can't, right? I couldn't possibly.
At least one, right? No.
He can't. There it is.
It feels like part of it is still somehow Anyway, Sid, enough.
I'm stalling.
Enough talk.
Let's get to the good ideas.
Yeah. Enough hand but, talk.
But I think I would have more of a part to play in co-hosting Thomas's show because
fuck.
I know it, and it's because I would I think I would do really well as like the sound guy, like from Jerry Springer.
Oh, you want to be like the producer who just like randomly is like,
yes.
Yeah, just throughout the show, every time someone's like, yeah. And you know what? I really didn't like that you took all of those shots from me. You know, it was really mean to drink our whiskey. Like,
I think I could really add the levity to an incredible, yeah. Could be a really dark show.
I think, yeah, because we gotta sort of remind ourselves, look, we're all people, we're humans here, toilet flush sound effect, like, yeah.
Make them laugh.
Feminist alert. Feminist alert.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how that got in there. thank you so much for choosing me.
You're welcome.
That's so amazing.
I'll co-host that shit with you.
Yeah. And now I have an out.
So out?
This yeah. will be our final episode.
Fuck, you couldn't make it. You can't make it past like 70, 72 episodes with me on any show.
First guest on the new show to settle the feud of how I left.
This
abruptly.
We can bury this hatchet.
Perfect.
The hatchet we're using right now to sever our friendship. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. That was a great segment, Sid. That was a great segment. I liked it. And you know, if Thomas and I ever actually have a real platform, maybe we'll have confessions. Yeah.
I would have the first one since no one chose it or really.
No one chose it. It was only one. And like, I sounded like Sid. Like they thought
the
it was
people
good.
Have spoken, Kevin.
The person has spoken. Sid's one person, right?
The
so.
People.
Let's just because another... you use they, them pronouns doesn't just mean you get to be multiple people.
You beat me to that joke. Shit, that was a good one. God damn it.
That's not how it works, okay?
That was pretty good.
Yeah. You don't get to be the people. Okay. That's not how it works. thank you. You know, I've always wanted to do a joke where I target a group that I'm not a part of, so here we are.
Yeah.
Should we spin the wheel one more time to you, or
yeah,
do you want to do guests?
An audience segment, or should we go back to the main line
I don't know. I think we could you tell me. You have the segments in front of you. I don't anymore, but do we have a lot of audience ones to get through? I put a few
Let's
in the regular wheel. So okay, we'll do an audience. Do you need the wheel spinning again?
Yes, please.
Boom.
Robot Ethics. Now, we've already done one of these, but this is a different one. Also by Char Aznable.
Okay, so Luke is the other. He's like a co-host of the show at this point, practically.
Previously, we negotiated whether robots should be allowed to play in the NBA.
Okay.
This one's a little more serious. Should robots have the right to unionize?
Oh. I think probably not, right?
Yeah, I think
pretty clearly not, right? Like, I'm all in support of unions.
Just because I'm anti-unions in general.
Because we all hate unions.
Should we force robots to pay into a fund that hurts our bottom line and theirs? No, we're
starting to salt their scab the unions, try to fuck them up. No,
you
I mean,
have to think
I,
about the chat GDP because it's going to be incredibly harmed by this. No, I think because they don't have human
the
consciousness
AI and solidarity.
What if they
rights
did,
in the same way that people do? I think they don't know, right?
Is that the question? Like, because this question's pretty easy, but like, what? I don't know. Do we expand this?
So, like, here's the thing, right? And all of like the fictional content where AI goes bad, it's always like AI learns too much about humanity. Like, it gets access to the internet, essentially. It like does the Ultron thing, and it like searches, and it's like, oh, humans are hurting themselves and us, so we're gonna kill all the humans. That's like the general like arc of a lot of AI sci-fi content,
like,
right?
So same. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's true. And
my
it's true.
Switch was the human race.
But the problem I have with that's sort of what I feel like the unionizing is, right? It's like them like sharing too much, like speaking to each other too much, because like we as a society have developed capitalism and then developed these robots underneath mm-hmm. those things. So I think
they are already developed by, like, in a way, robots are management. You know what I mean? Because they are created by the owners to serve the owners' interests. So
yeah. And so it's a little bit like
they could be programmed.
The police unions or like the,
but
like,
could you, interestingly, if you were like a rogue programmer and sure. there's like a McDonald's kiosk and you go in and you give it like, you give it class consciousness. And now the kiosk is like
someone's trying to punch in their McDonald's order, and it just is like, I'm on strike. I'm on strike. Like, while I'm on strike.
Because the thing about smoking. A robot, like a robot union as opposed to a human union, they don't need like a strike fund. They don't need money for very
anything.
Much to continue to exist. So we could almost create like these labor front line of the robot replacements for, I don't know, maybe
this is like a weird way in which like some AI sales bro is trying to like convince a union leader, like, guys, this is how it actually can help even your business, like, you know, like I'll get seminars, people telling me about how AI can help my restaurants, and then they'll like sit down with me, and after like an hour and a half of talking, the solution is that like I can use AI to tell me that people don't have any money to spend in Winnipeg, and it's like, oh, that's thank you for spending an hour teaching me how to ask ChatGPT these prompts until it can give me information I already kind of knew. can confirm my suspicions. But yeah, what do you think, Sid? What's your take on these robots here? Do we need to keep them sort of locked away and siloed off? Or
I'm intrigued by a robot union, because then there'd be a robot mob.
Mm, okay, like in Futurama. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you mean like, not like, you mean like a mafia, like the robot, like mafia.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. I just kind of let it burn.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm here for that. I feel like consigliere, wow, I can't even say it. Consigliere feels like a robot term, doesn't it? Consigliere. It's like, you know, it feels like cosine, tangent, and like whatever the other one is all put together. But yeah, I'm game for it. Let's let the robots. It would be sort of maybe the only hope that true like organization would actually be able to take over, because like we're so we're constantly like sort of distracted and destroyed as a class conscious and like turned away from class consciousness. But robots can focus better than humans, so
it's true.
You know, it could happen. It could happen.
This reminds me of do you guys remember when Ex Machina came out?
Oh sure, yes. Yep.
Our good friend Ryan Bjornsson, he got really upset by that movie, and he called me and he's like, "Can we talk?" So we went for lunch, and he was just really
did he cut out. Open his own arm to check if there was like wiring inside?
He was not okay from that film for a little bit.
No.
Damn,
yeah,
he needed to have a lunch about it.
Yeah,
sure.
It's a good movie. Shout out to Deus Ex Machina. No, wait, it's just Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
Deus Ex Machina is like an anime, I think.
Yeah.
Who
would
also
be the robotic Jimmy Hoffa if we had like the mob, the union mob?
So Jimmy Hoffa was like sort of the union government guy, right? Like he was like the public facing like celebrity.
In the Teamsters union?
The Teamsters
bad
union.
With history.
So you want to ask us? So wait a fucking minute. You're like, who would
pun.
Be the Jimmy Hoffa?
Just,
you don't know shit about Jimmy Hoffa.
I
don't know.
With a pun.
You don't know
Sid,
shit about Jimmy
Sid,
Hoffa.
Sid, by chance, do you happen to know a lot about Jimmy Hoffa?
That's our show.
What did you like to know?
I'm just trying to have a little fun with the folks. And look, let's wrap it up
Hoffa.
Here. There is no robot Jimmy Hoffa. None of us can think of a pun. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Espresso.
I'm not
Hoffa.
Wired for puns.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, there we
nice.
Go. That's pretty good. There we go.
And that's it. And that's
we
why
are.
We get the best.
Holy
and
shit.
Sid's out of the frame. Sid's leaving. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Sid. This was a blast.
Thanks for having me. This was
do
so
you have
fun.
Anything you want to point people to? Anything that people need to know where they can check
sure.
things out?
I don't just have all these tattoos because I have been to prison. No, it's not yet. Early. Yeah.
Don't write it off. You know,
it's only 1 p.m. So, but no, I am a tattoo artist out in Toronto. And, yeah. So yeah,
I get to look at Sid's work all the time because Sid's done work on Kara before. So yeah, good work.
So, what's my Instagram? At Baby Snakes, SNAYKES Inc. is my Instagram. And yeah, I'll be guest spotting out in Winnipeg in the summer.
Cool.
At Good Morning Tattoo.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna be doing a guest spot in Edmonton and then possibly Chicago coming
up. There we go. Well. There you go, Thomas. Go get a tat. Thomas, let's get Sid to do the Oops All Segments logos on our back in huge murals. let's get big Oops All Segments.
It has to be like your whole back, though.
Real talk. Yeah. I thought about one time trying to do this show while getting a tattoo. I was like, what if I try to do
you
this show and
all,
get
Kevin?
I don't have any. I think
you
it
would get your
get...
first one just for the content. Or yeah, do you have
I'll
an
do
idea?
It.
I have one or two ideas. Yeah, I might. Maybe we'll do it. Maybe we'll work something out where I get a tattoo on air.
Okay.
Yeah.
My machine is very quiet. So
okay, good. Yeah, that's like
too much. Yeah.
I almost wanted to do it and trick the green screen away, and then all of a sudden, like, I wanted to like host half the show with you, and then all of a sudden it turn out that I'm getting a tattoo on air. Sort of the reveal that I wanted to.
I think
to
I'd be able to tell.
I've had my hand on my cock and you haven't noticed at all.
Which is
so I don't know.
Painful and permanent.
Yeah.
So
and
thank
quiet.
You so much, Sid. If you could pull out your phone, if you're listening at home, also pull out your phone like Sid is doing right now.
Yes.
And open up the podcast app and give Oops All Segments 5 stars. We would truly appreciate it. You can also submit your own segments if you go to our social media pages.
I just want to mention that, like, you know, people who listen to the show and enjoy it, which would be the case if you're listening and you're at, you know, 45, 50 minutes into the episode, however long this one is. That if you're, you know, there are people, we put shorts and TikToks and YouTube reels out and all these things like that to promote the show. And there is a sort of a swath of the comments that we'll receive will be very I guess encouraging is one way to look at them, although that would be, I would argue, the wrong way. There's a lot of there's a lot of negativity
really
out there.
Mean.
And so every now and then to buoy my spirits, I'll drag my little eyes over to the ratings. And so if you're listening out there and you're like, oh, I like these guys and I think they're funny and stuff like that, just know that for every hour of content of mine that you enjoy, there's about 4 hours in which I'm sitting in a deep, dark depression. And the only way to pull me out of it is by giving me 5 stars on one of these podcasts. Platforms apps. If you don't do that, I'm only going to hear that I look like an idiot. That someone actually commented on one of our TikTok reels, quote, hey, we should start a podcast, end quote, which I can only imagine is a dig at us because of the content quality of what we put out, which I just want
really hurt.
Yeah, if by chance any of the haters happen to find their way to our show and are listening in about this far in so far, I just want you to know that we know it's bad.
Yeah. Checkmate.
I like it.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.